This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Charles Darling. Charles is one of the founders and leaders of DQ Holdings. He's going to talk to us about DQ Holdings, points of pride, areas they specialize in, advice for investors, and a little bit more. Charles, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me today. And on DQ Holdings, we are a family office out of Houston, Texas, that invests multi-sector and stage, but with a primary focus historically over the last 10 years in U.S.-China cross-border investment. And that has ranged, again, in tech, healthcare, and otherwise in our activities.
And tell us about DQ Holdings. Just tell us about the background, the founding of it. Just give us some background on the whole thing.
Sure. DQ Holdings came out of an energy background originally, founded in 1998. After that point, its access into the Chinese market was where it started to focus most of its energies of development. At first in that energy sector and then broadening over the course of time. And to date, while we still are active in that energy sector, it is more primarily focused on healthcare.
And what kind of areas of healthcare? The areas of healthcare that you particularly specialize on, technology, provider stuff, device stuff, life sciences, where's the focus in healthcare?
Sure. Well, the model of the family office is to incubate with management one project at a time and then make direct and LP investments outside of that. In those activities, medical devices have been really the core focus, but we also have partnered with Elite Capital Advisors, a venture capital firm out of China, in a broader focus of both devices as well as some amount of therapeutics and digital, and looking at how we can help U.S. companies access the Chinese market, both through investment as well as operation support.
Fantastic. And talk about sort of family office area and versus committed capital. Give us your sense of what you prefer and why you prefer it, your sense of how you approach things.
Family office has more flexibility in how it moves through a process and what it can bring to bear, and the willingness of management to become more actively involved in a investment or in an opportunity. That's been the main difference that we've tried to utilize in our value add to the portfolio companies that we've invested in and or the projects that we incubate.
Fantastic. As you look at 2021, what are you most excited about this year? Are there specific ways you see opportunities? Do you worry that deals are overpriced? How do you look at things in 2021?
In 2021, particular to what we are doing right now, we're focused on specific categories, again, in the healthcare space, where regulatory changes and frameworks allows for new opportunities to be explored. We, again, with that cross-border element, are focused on those changes that are happening within the Chinese marketplace. And that's been really the doors that we've tried to walk through in our evaluation of where we would like to be putting capital as well as our placing capital as well as our time. In the Chinese space, for instance, we've seen large changes in that regulatory framework over the last 6 years, and even more recently, the opening up of opportunities within the rare and orphan disease space, which is one of our key focus areas now, particularly with our partners at Elite.
And you think about the name DQ Holdings, I take it part of that is Darling, and then the Q is someone else, I guess. I don't know for sure, but nothing to do with Dairy King.
Nothing to do with Dairy Queen. I would say it actually has a bit more of a broader meaning to it. It, you know, coming out of DQ, it's more along the lines of Cervantes and chasing the impossible dream. So it's really more of about the mission statement of our group in trying to go out and be part of bringing change and positive impact generally in the investments and activities that we undertake, the broadness and the broad applicability of those solutions.
So nothing to do with the name Darling either. And it's just an unsophisticated interviewer that would look at it as either Darling or Dairy Queen and clearly nothing related to either.
Neither. The origination of it was much more on the basis of let's go out and try to do something great and contribute to those that are doing something great.
How cool is that? So take us one more step. You've had this magnificently interesting career that you've carved out for yourself. What advice do you have for people trying to either be great investors or, more importantly, trying to do interesting things professionally? What advice do you give people?
Sure. One thing that I would say, and we see this especially in the family office area or in the angel investing area of folks that we have worked alongside of, is that as high net worths or ultra high net worths come into activities that are outside of their historical core focus or expertise, that they continue to apply the same rigor with which they would have operated or analyzed an opportunity within that space where they have that domain expertise into these new areas. That's one area that we have traditionally seen that there is more, let's say, flexibility in what's allowed for in those investment processes, and that especially when the target is outside of a group's historical domain expertise. And so therefore, that would be my main point of advice.
Well, that's a fascinating piece of advice. It's sort of a fascinating piece of advice. Because let's say somebody's a family office, they've developed high net worth, ultra high net worth, $100, $300 million, whatever the number is, or more. And now they're doing some investing outside of their core area. And rather than applying the rigor they took in building their own business and really knowing their own business, they almost view it, at least the starting point, that they're taking some flyers. If they don't apply the rigor, they use more assumptions, and they don't dig as deeply into it, and thus they have suboptimal results if they're not applying the same rigor they took to get where they got to begin with. And they almost have to apply more rigor because they're not as familiar with that new area.
That's what I would say. Is that it's almost as make an analogy of when you're evaluating an opportunity, and if that person had walked through the door saying something similarly about your area of core expertise, given the same amount of data or just the checklist that you would go through in evaluating and doing your due diligence on that individual or entity, What would your response be? How long would they stay in your office, and go from there? That's one thing that we we've seen out there, and something that we try to bring to our investments is making sure, because they are varied and broad, but still staying to a process, still staying rigorous to that, and making sure that your checklist is gone through. And making sure that checklist is as extensive as it would be in your key and core area of focus.
Right. And your key and core you bring to it, what you would call domain expertise, what we'd all call sort of like you know the area. And so sometimes you could skip through some things because you really know your area well. In another area, your diligence better be three times as strong because you don't know as well to start with. And even though you've already made a fortune, if you start dithering it away, you know, the easiest way to make a small fortune is to start with a large fortune and lose money. And it's fascinating advice, actually. So I appreciate that. It's worth the price of admission today. That and me learning the genesis of the name DQ Holdings as well is also worth the price of admission. Charles, I want to thank you. Yeah, I want to thank you for joining us. Just truly actually fascinating and some great advice. Thank you so much for joining the Becker Private Equity Podcast today. Just a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you very much.
This is a lot of fun. Thanks so much.